You are listening to the Not Your Average Autism Mom podcast, the number one podcast for moms just like you, raising autistic children. How are moms like us who didn't plan for this unique parenting journey, embracing life just as it is right now, instead of staying stuck, wishing, hoping, and dreaming it was different? That is the question. And Not Your Average Autism Mom is the answer. My name is Shannon Urkiola, and I have been traveling this journey for over 2 decades. I have been where you are. All right, stay with me and let's get on to this week's episode. Episode 178, Navigating PDA Realities, Decoding Your Child's Behavior. One more thing real quick. I wanted to make sure that you knew about our free webinar. I'm doing a webinar. It's called Journey to Resilience, Navigating Autism Parenting, and I'm sharing with you 3 hidden truths that you need to know and understand along this autism parenting journey. The link is in the show notes, but it's super easy. It's notyouraverageautismmom.com/webinar. I hope to see you there. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Not Your Average Autism Mom podcast. I am your host, Shannon Urkiola, and thank you for coming to spend a little bit of time with me today. Today, I'm talking about a topic that many parents in the autism community find both confusing and challenging, and that is pathological demand avoidance, or PDA. Now, if you're not quite sure what that is, don't worry, we're going to break it down and we're going to discuss why a diagnosis of PDA might not be as important as you think, especially if your child already has an autism diagnosis. But first, a quick reminder to just hit that subscribe button and share this episode with fellow parents who might find this information helpful. I certainly would appreciate it. All right, let's dive in. So maybe you might be wondering why I've chosen to address this issue of a PDA diagnosis and its importance or lack thereof when a child already has a diagnosis of autism. Well, let me tell you, the journey through autism is unique for every family, and PDA adds an extra layer of complexity. So what exactly is PDA, or pathological demand avoidance? It is a condition where individuals, often within the autism spectrum, have an extreme resistance to daily demands and following the lead of others. They don't like to be bossed around. They're anxious about pretty much everything, and they feel the need to control their environment to the max. I like to think about it like, if you think of it like having this tiny CEO who wants to micromanage every aspect of their life, from what they eat to how they spend their time. Now, here's the kicker. PDA is not officially recognized as a standalone diagnosis just yet, but it's gaining traction, particularly more in Europe than in the United States. But however, that doesn't mean that you can't address the challenges that it presents. And so this is the reason why I believe a PDA diagnosis isn't the be-all end-all, especially when you already have an autism diagnosis. Therapy and interventions are tailored to the individual, not the label that's slapped on them. So whether it's PDA or autism, the strategies and support you provide remain largely the same. So I want to talk about some specific examples that you may face with children exhibiting severe avoidance, whether it's related to PDA or not. These kids often display intense anxiety and avoidance. So let's just say that maybe you're offering your child something that they enjoy, a preferred activity, and yet you're encountered with strong resistance, demanding behavior, and even possibly aggression. It's frustrating, right? But here's the thing. For kids with PDA tendencies or severe anxiety, even the smallest deviation from their expectations can send them into a tailspin. The fear of uncertainty is often the culprit for them. These children need to know exactly what to expect and what is expected of them. Previewing events ahead of time provides this like mental map for them, right? Making the situation more predictable and reducing their anxiety. And this is especially important for new or unfamiliar places or events. The more novel or vague the situation, the higher the anxiety levels. Let your child know what's coming up, how long it'll last, and what's expected of them. This way, they feel more in control and less anxious about the unknown. And I'll tell you, Jordan absolutely has PDA tendencies. So I live this every day. Now, unexpected changes, those are real troublemakers. Even when it's something they enjoy, like their favorite activity, if it's not happening the way they expected and planned, it can throw them off. Again, these children thrive on the understanding and predictability of their immediate world. So unexpected changes, even when it's something that they want, can collapse their sense of safety and security. So how do we navigate this? Well, it's all about minimizing unexpected variations, whether that's a delay, a small change in a familiar activity, or, you know, just plans don't go as planned. And I will tell you, many of the moms in our membership know this, but I spent years being blamed when a space shuttle would cancel a launch. Like 2 days of, it was my fault that the space shuttle didn't go up, because he loves watching shuttle launches. And that was his plan that day. And guess what? Cape Canaveral, NASA decided to scrub the launch. Well, I knew that my life was going to be hell for 2 days because it was all my fault. So when we finally got to a place, oh, I don't know, 5 years ago maybe, and he's 27, when we finally got to a place that he connected the dots of, guess what? Mom doesn't have any ability to cancel the space shuttle. It was just a huge win for me. So again, like I said, whether it's a small delay or a change in activities, try to stick to routines as much as possible and give them a heads up about any changes ahead of time. That has really worked wonders for us in Jordan's world. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the need for control, because control is another biggie. Children with severe avoidance fear uncertainty. That leads them to control everything around them. These kiddos crave it like a lifeline. They resist following others' lead. And that's where we as parents often struggle. We want to guide and lead. But the more we try, the more resistant they become. Because remember, initiation matters. If it's not their idea, even when it's something they like, resistance may still rear its head. It's not about what they're doing. It's about who's in control. They resist following the lead of adults and may become anxious, even in situations they like, if someone else is directing them. So what I recommend is, instead of trying to boss them around, give them some autonomy. Right? One of the things that I talk about a lot is choices. Jordan thrives on choices. Let them take the lead and make choices whenever possible, because that helps them feel empowered and reduces their anxiety. Sometimes stepping back and allowing them to initiate the event even can make a significant difference. You know, maybe you tell them, hey, listen, the rodeo is coming to town. Do you want to go? And when they say yes, then you say, okay, well, which night do you want to go? Because again, they're in control. But let's just say, what if you tried all that and they're still melting down? Well, it could be performance anxiety coming out to play. Even when children are allowed to lead and control, they may still experience strong task performance anxiety. This fear of failure, and it's got a little bit of perfectionism there, can lead to meltdowns and a sense of inadequacy. Fortunately, this part of it isn't something that we've really ever had to deal with. But these kids often fear failure, and they have a tough time dealing with even the smallest hiccup. That's why it's important to keep expectations minimal and focus on giving them credit for praising their efforts, not just the end result. And lastly, let's not forget social anxiety. Group activities can be a nightmare for these kiddos. With all the unspoken rules and expectations, the more people a child must regulate during an event, the higher their anxiety. So reading nonverbal cues, understanding others' intentions, navigating social rules, all of that becomes very overwhelming, especially in a group setting. So if you're headed into a social situation, you might not want to prepare them beforehand. You might want to. You're going to try it both ways, but you're going to offer support throughout. Sometimes just having a familiar face nearby can make all the difference. So where does that leave us? Well, whether it's PDA or severe anxiety within the autism spectrum, because they look very similar, the challenges are real. But so are the strategies. So are the strategies that we can use to support them. Remember, it's not about fitting them into a labeled PDA or autism. It's about understanding their unique needs and meeting them where they are. Understanding their comfort zones, right? Predictability, control, perfect performance, minimal social regulation. All of those things help us better support these kids. They may appear socially adept on the surface, but underneath, their social skills are lacking. The inconsistency in behavior can be really frustrating for both parents, teachers. Understanding these challenges is key to providing the right support. I think it's also important to point out that these children are generally incredibly bright, but they may struggle with underlying social skills. Their avoidance strategies can seem defiant, but underneath, they're dealing with this deep-rooted fear and insecurity. The journey of parenting a child with severe anxiety or pathological demand avoidance can be challenging, and traditional strategies may not always apply. You may have to try something. It may work for a little while, and then guess what? You got to go back to the drawing board and try again. And here's the thing about these kids. They're not defiant or manipulative. They're deeply anxious and insecure. Pressure and demands only fuel their resistance. You cannot win the battle with command and demand. These kids resist external control. And the more pressure you apply, the more they'll dig their heels in. Pressuring them only fuels resistance. So instead, what if you back off the demands? Let them have some control. And gradually, you're going to build a collaborative relationship to reduce their anxiety and build trust. It's a different approach, but trust me, it works. Understanding the child's comfort zones and the variables that disrupt them is critically important. And remember, a PDA diagnosis is not a prerequisite for assessing the services your child needs. By tailoring interventions to their unique challenges, you can help your child navigate their world with less stress and anxiety. And I know it's tough. Trust me, I know. I have no doubt that Jordan would be diagnosed with PDA. These kids are complex and vulnerable. But understanding their needs and comfort zones is the first step. And remember, the more resistant they are, the more scared and inadequate and uncertain they feel. So I want to encourage you to approach these challenges with empathy and patience and a willingness to try different strategies and to not give yourself such a hard time when things don't go how you would like. You have to have empathy and compassion for yourself along this journey. You, mama, you are human, and you're going to have those times when you've had it and you don't show up how you want to. And that's okay. It's all part of the experience. And every time that happens, you learn something. Trust me. And when you do, you are building resilience and strength that you need to sustain this journey. All right, my friends, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me on this kind of dive into the intricacies of autism and PDA on the Not Your Average Autism Mom podcast. If you found these insights helpful, share them with someone else who might be navigating similar waters. And please, if you haven't taken 2 minutes to write a review yet, please do. I would really appreciate it. Until next week, make it a great week. And remember, above all, you, mama, are doing amazing at this mom thing. Hey, so if you're loving what you're learning on the podcast, I want to ask you to take a minute and write a review. That's how we reach more moms just like us. And that is how you can pay it forward to help another mom who might be struggling right now. I also want to invite you to check out our Not Your Average Autism Mom membership. That's where we dive deeper into all the topics we discuss on the podcast and where you can get individual help and learn coaching tools that will make your life better every day. When you become Not Your Average Autism Mom, you take on an identity with an incredible community of women across the globe, all raising autistic children who all show up to show the world they are Not Your Average Autism Mom. It's my favorite place to be, so head on over to the website, www.notyouraverageautismmom.com, to find out all the details. And listen, if we're not open for new members right now, make sure you join the wait list so you're the first to know when we open. We hope you do. We would love to work with you inside.